It's Saturday, September 24th, 2016, and this is The Beacon. Good morning. Here we are again for another edition of The Beacon. I kind of liked what I did last week.
What did you do last week?
That formal opening.
You did? We're not formal, though. We're just not that.
Well, we wear our robes to the breakfast table, for Pete's sake. I mean, you know, I'm not pretty in the morning, believe me.
That's all right.
Yeah, breakfast, you know?
I don't get out of my jammies till like 10 in the morning.
Do you know what I like?
What?
Grapefruit juice.
Do you?
I love grapefruit juice. And at a few of the stores, they sell these big containers of grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
The little pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to have that every day.
Really? I've never gotten into grapefruit. I've really tried. And I just, it's not a taste I can get behind.
Try it because it's good.
Really?
It is excellent.
All
it's
right.
A perfect way to start the day.
All right.
And you get your vitamin C out of it, too.
All right. I know. So, but it is very good vitamin C.
Yep. Because orange juice just does a number on me.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And I was talking to somebody and they said, wow, I'm surprised. Because there's more acidic quality in grapefruit than there is in oranges.
Yeah.
I says, well, the only orange I can eat is I have to peel the orange and eat it that way. I can't drink orange juice.
Huh. That's interesting.
Drink orange juice.
Because of the acid.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, too, in the processing, you know, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, stick with what works.
That's the best way.
That's right.
You know.
Don't need to fix
it. If it ain't broke, don't fix
it. You got it, baby.
All right. So what are we doing today?
What are we doing today? Lots of changes happening at the Pace Paratransit Group. We've got Maggie Daly Schoenbachen, who's going to be talking about the good and bad with a new reservation system, both in the city and out in the burbs. So we'll be talking to her. And then Athea to Critic. Is this Brett?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. He goes to the Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier, and he's going to let us know how the accessibility is for people who are blind and or visually impaired.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
And then I'll be back with a little Let Us Turn Up the Beat, and we're going to round it out with Tom's Corner, with our boys from Tom's Corner.
Absolutely. All about those road shows.
That's,
you know?
Well, they better get them in, because the weather's going to turn pretty...
Don't say that.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
No, I don't like, you know, I can tolerate, believe it or not, I can tolerate the snow.
I hate it
when it gets down to 20 degrees below zero on the thermostat.
Yeah.
Or the thermometer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wind chills are like 35, 40 below.
Yeah, that's miserable.
No.
That's miserable.
That's not good.
And I agree with you on the snow. I actually very much enjoy winter until, I would say, February-ish. I'm
and
done.
Then you've had enough.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Right. Because
yeah.
then you get into that sludgy, like, march through May where it's just blah.
The blah. All the brine in the street and the corners and everything.
It's gray. Nothing. There's no new snow. It's just gray and cold and slushy. Yeah, that's when I'm...
And then you get the freezing rain.
Right.
And that's no fun at all.
No.
Well, we're going to have breakfast while our audience does and while we check in and see what's going on at Pace. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
The show's The Beacon. We will visit the bus people in a moment.
Every day, Pace is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular Pace buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard Pace Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the Pace Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PaceBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. Pace, connecting communities.
This morning on The Beacon, we're joined by a lady who's a lot of fun, probably more fun than Patrick Wilmot. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, you're easier on the ears, I think, right?
I'll take it.
You'll take it. Her name is Maggie Daly, not to be confused with the mayor's late wife, Maggie Daly Schoensbach.
Skogsbach.
Like I said, you know,
it's
like she said.
One. You know, you got it close.
I'm close enough for government work, you know. All those Scandinavian companies, these countries, they all
I
run
can
together.
I barely pronounce it correctly.
So how you been doing? Summer okay for you?
Doing well. We've had a lot of great stuff going on, and I'm happy to be here talking with you about it.
I am glad, too. Listen, can I start out now? Because when we talked, I was just getting into getting back into paratransit again.
Yes.
And I use paratransit from the lighthouse out to the Gulf Mill Transfer Point. And one of the things that people were complaining about is you have to call separate numbers for everything. Like if I wanted to call for a ride from the lighthouse to Gulf Mill, I have to call an 866 number. And if I am out in the suburbs, I call an 800 number. That's totally different.
Yeah, and that's then the city providers, and then we have suburban providers
right
at this time.
And then there is the you don't want to be a no-show. So let's say you're being good enough and you want to cancel. So you have to call. Now, if you got two rides, you got to call the 800-606 number for within the limits of Chicago. But then you have to call back the original booking service out in the suburbs again. You guys got any intentions of like combining those numbers or anything?
We are working towards some simpler processes for people to book. So, you know, when we inherited the system in 2006, Pace took it over, we were providing 2 million trips.
Right.
And now we're providing 4 million trips.
Wow.
So as the ridership grows, we try to keep moving toward more efficient, effective service so we can provide equal access to transportation for people with disabilities, as well as being responsible for our obligation to the taxpayer to make that system run efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways we have started moving toward doing that is we've, in the city of Chicago, launched a centralized scheduling center.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone's still calling the same number at this time, but it's all going to the same place. And we're moving slowly toward, hopefully, that being a region-wide system. But there's
right
so many variables. And even with the launch of this, there were some hiccups. And it took a week or so to iron out. And so that's, you know, that disrupts service. So these kind of initiatives take a ton of planning. Because even with a ton of planning, we get hiccups. They did a ton of work to try and make this move to centralized scheduling, you know, seamless,
sure,
that no one would notice. And there were still a couple small things that happened. So I can't say anything's going to happen like really soon, but
right,
Pace is aware of you know, the need for more simple reservation making ability, and that also just makes it more efficient and cost effective for the taxpayer.
Well, I have to tell you, we were talking. I remember talking, maybe about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, about a centralized call center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the RTA has the 836-7000 number. They were talking about the same thing for Pace, and that's
yep
what you're talking about here,
that's
what we're getting
forward,
to.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't have a timeline. You know, again, once we start moving into the suburbs, we have even more varied landscape of how we're going to manage that.
Sure.
But it is in the, you know, in everyone's, you know, to-do list to keep working at this and do it in tandem with trying to operate more efficient service that's on time and all the other factors that we feel need improvement.
How many services do you have in the suburbs? Because I know I use the Northwest, MV Northwest service out where I live.
We have a few different carriers. I don't have an exact number, but I would say it's close to 10.
10 carriers out there, too. So you got the 10 out in the suburbs, plus the 3 in the city.
Yes, sir.
And you got to manage all of that.
We're trying.
We're
starting with the city, because that's where the majority of our trips are.
City-wound,
and in the suburbs,
yeah,
we have a lot of dial-a-rides because we don't have a ton of fixed route in certain areas.
Right.
So they don't have that complimentary ADA. So there is that issue, too, of trying to find the middle ground between the dial-a-rides and the paratransit,
mm-hmm,
and how we communicate the reservations for those. Now, the dial-a-rides are partnerships with small communities, and they handle their fares, their booking, their scheduling, and all that. I don't know if that's going to be able to be integrated into a central call center. And those are all things that still need to be explored.
Well, that was, you had said something when you were talking about the Dial-A-Ride and all of that. And I'm trying to remember, well, because it brought up a question, then it brought up another question, but maybe it'll come back. You know, it's hell to get old, you know.
Okay.
But anyway, it sounds like you're trying to head in the right direction with all of this. Oh, I know what I was going to say. When I do book, though, I find today, as opposed to when I used the service a couple of years ago, that if I am booking the ride from the Lighthouse to Gulf Mill, and I got a pickup at Gulf Mill from the Suburban carrier, I usually ask the CDT carrier what time will we or should we estimate to arrive. And they usually give me a time, and I'll tell you what, it's usually within 5 or 10 minutes of when we actually get there.
Perfect.
And that's pretty good, because I'll tell you, you deal with some of the city traffic.
Absolutely.
And some of the, you know, some of the circumstances that can arise from some of the riders, and to be able to do that, that says a lot.
Yeah, we're very, you know, proud of our contractors and their ability to facilitate all these trips as quickly and as efficiently as they can. Mm-hmm. So we have an overall system on-time performance of about 89-90%.
Mm-hmm.
And that considers there's a 20-minute window that we're allotted to, it's still considered on time at that
right,
point. So
right.
Because that's, you know, the variables of traffic, weather, a rider getting sick and us having to change vehicles.
Sure.
A railroad, the train just stops and blocks us. You know, there's so many variables, but we are working hard to address all those variables. And even though that 90% on-time performance rate is better than almost every fixed route, regular mm-hmm. service on-time performance measure, including trains that have a dedicated guideway, it's still not good enough for us. They're still working toward getting it to be better. The FTA cited us as a best practice paratransit provider, and we still don't think it's good enough. So I hope people understand that, you know, even though we're meeting all the accommodations and rules that we're supposed to, even though we've gotten, you know, I believe it's 3 in a row perfect audits from the FTA for our paratransit service, that doesn't mean we're not looking to be bigger and better.
Sure.
Even with all of that, and you know, we will work to eliminate or at least control as many of those variables as possible,
which you know, again, that's very, very important. I'm trying to think of the other question that I had that has come up with me. Oh, I know, fixed route.
Mm-hmm.
In my area, and I'm sure this happens in quite a few of the areas around the suburban service, if there's no fixed service, there's no paratransit service.
No, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because it doesn't make any sense, and I'll tell you why. Yes, there is fixed route service and that, but a lot of people can't take the fixed route, you know, because of some mm-hmm. medical condition or another. Or if they want to use it like on a Sunday morning to go to church or services or whatever, they don't have a way of getting there.
Yeah, we don't disagree with that. So fixed route, and I'm sure you know this very well.
Sure.
The goal is to provide equal access. So that the way that looks in reality is that equal access means you have the same access to transportation when and where it exists on fixed route.
Mm-hmm.
That said, that's part of the reason we love these Dial-A-Rides. And the city of Chicago has 24/7 service. So it's not really, as far as I can see,
right.
an issue there. But it is an issue in the suburbs. So we love these partnerships with communities that are willing to help us operate these Dial-A-Rides. We simply don't have the funding.
Sure.
To provide above, you know, much more above and beyond than what we're providing as a complementary service to the fixed route. So I have to commend all these communities that partner and provide Dial-A-Rides, like Schaumburg's DART program. You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone else. There's a fair amount of them. I'm trying to...
The one I used to use was out in Palatine.
Yep.
And there was one out there that, and then I'm trying to think of another one that used to serve out in that area as well. There was a Dial-A-Ride service,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's...
Crystal Lake has a Dial-A-Ride.
There's dozens of
them. Yeah.
Orland Park, Lyons Township,
yep.
Lamont. And a lot of them are focused at seniors and people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are general public. You know, and they'll have special fares for people with disabilities and for seniors. They can prioritize trips. They can say these are only for medical trips. That's something we cannot do on paratransit.
Right.
So in a lot of ways, these Dollar Rides actually better serve the communities. And say in the city of Chicago, I do believe, like I said, it's 24/7 coverage.
It is. Yeah.
But people also have the option of TAP, which I'd love to touch upon if you can give me a second on that, because at tomorrow's board meeting, they're voting on a temporary fare reduction for TAP. So right now, registered ADA riders can take use the taxi access program, and they pay $5 for a trip that's equivalent to $13.50, and
mm-hmm.
he subsidizes that difference. We are proposing a six-month demo where we move that fare down to $3, so it's equal to the paratransit fare,
mm-hmm.
To see the impacts on our paratransit system and the TAP program. So we're really excited about that, to give people this opportunity, because there's no day in advance booking needed. You can be a little bit more on the fly, and it's a City of Chicago mandate. Every single taxi has to accept that TAP card.
You know, the thing is, it would be wonderful to have that in the suburbs. However, it was explained to me one time, and it said that there are each suburb, a taxi driver explained this to me. If they wanted to serve regularly Palatine or Schaumburg or, let's say, Orland Park or Naperville and that sort of thing, they have to buy a license or a permit from each of those villages.
Yeah.
And they said it'll never happen to have the TAP program in the suburbs, because this is their own little fiefdom.
Yeah, I mean, we serve well over 200 communities, and we
right.
see that, you know, they all have their different rules. And we think that's, you know, the Dollar Rides don't exist in the city, and TAP doesn't exist in the suburbs, and there's reasons for that. And the Dollar Ride, I'm not going to say is equivalent to the TAP program or any of the other services we provide within the city of Chicago, but they do meet the needs of those smaller communities a little bit better.
But here's the fact. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Because being that paratransit in itself is a non-funded mandate,
true.
Is it possible that if somebody decided to, or a few legislators decided to get together in Springfield and say that you have to do this service, this taxi service, this taxi access program in your community, you know, outside the corporate limits of Chicago, I wonder what kind of standing that would have in passing the legislature.
Yeah, that's a great question. I, like you said, every single little community has all of their own guidelines. I see it firsthand when we're trying to do our advertising shelters to provide more amenities for
sure.
riders. And, you know, it varies community by community of what design, what type of shelter, whatever I can put up.
Right.
So I see it in the minutia there. I wonder what would happen. I have no idea. And I would love to see if something coordinated like that could actually get some feet.
You know, you just gave me the idea. I'm usually the kind of guy that ruffles feathers, so I don't mind doing something like that. Maybe I'll look into it a little further.
Yeah, I mean, and there's other things to explore, too, given these are, you know, down the road. But,
sure.
You know, we now have Uber and Lyft who are all working on accessible options for people. So we'll see what happens.
But
there's a lot of, you know, potential out there. We're just not there yet.
The question about Uber and Lyft is, like, I travel with a guide dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are others who travel with a guide dog. These are independent operators for Uber. They're using their own car.
True.
Now, they may say, you can't get in this car with that dog, and they don't fall under the federal ADA guidelines.
They do not, but I'm going to defer to Uber on this. You might want to reach out, and I can probably get you some contact info. I believe they're exploring what's called Uber Access,
uh-huh.
where they're having vehicles that are specifically, you know, designed to be accommodating to people with all disabilities, be that someone with a guide animal
sure.
or someone with a mobility device. So they're looking into it. I'm not exactly sure how far they are on in that process,
mm-hmm.
But we're interested in it. We're interested to see where they go with it. And I'm sure they're having some of the same issues with navigating, you know, community by community. And I think they're also starting to get a stock of vehicles that they're leasing to drivers. They're not the driver's personal cars.
Well, I heard that.
And those are supposed to be accessible.
I
don't know.
I listen to a New York radio station once in a while on a device that I have, and they are offering that in New York now.
Yeah.
It says you don't even need your own car. Come to us. We'll provide you the car and everything else.
Yeah.
All you have to do is drive, you know.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of conferences where Uber has presented, and the talks they've given have been promising.
Have they? Okay.
About their acknowledgement that that's an issue that needs to be addressed.
All right. Well, sounds like a plan. I think we covered a lot of territory here today, Maggie.
Did talk your ear off on this one?
Well, listen.
I had a lot of caffeine today.
That's okay. I could go on forever with it, too. If you want to get more information about the paratransit service that's offered, sure, either in the suburbs or in the city, what number should they call?
They're going to go to our general customer relations number. That's 847-228. Oh, given the wrong one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't give out that number.
Our general customer relations number is 847-364-7223, and they're going to press option 3 to get directly down to our customer relations team.
Right.
Information is also available at pacebus.com. They'll see a button at the top of that page with a paratransit bus, and they can click on that and go to our paratransit section, find out more about our paratransit service, our dial-a-ride system, as well as the taxi access program.
One last question before we go. And they have, the way this it's set up, I know, and I'm not sure if it's only the CTA or if PACE is participating for regular route travel. Do you have is there still a free senior ride program?
I do believe so. For those who qualify through the benefit access program. So if you're a lower income senior, you absolutely qualify.
Okay.
And otherwise, you at least ride at a reduced fare.
Well, sounds like a plan. Maggie, it was always good talking to you.
Ditto.
And we'll get back to you in a couple of months and check on things. And if I hear some people, shaking the chains about things, I'll let you know about that too.
Absolutely. Let me know, and I look forward to talking to you again.
That's Maggie Daly, what?
Skogsbakken.
And she's with PACE and the particularly the paratransit division where she provides us with all the information. I'm Bill Jurek. We'll be back with more after this.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
I have to tell a story.
Sure.
I've had it on my mind because it just completely freaked me out, so I have to get it off my chest. I was working at a hospital this week, mm-hmm, as an interpreter, and myself and my colleague were taking an elevator with an entire group, like a team of cardiologists. So it was us two and the team of cardiologists, probably 6 or 7 of them in the elevator. And the doors start to close, and all of a sudden, from the outside of the elevator, somebody reaches their hand through the elevator door, mm-hmm, to try and open the door back up, but the doors don't open. So the doors...
It's supposed to.
I know! But the doors kept closing on this guy. And it was already a really narrow gap when he,
right,
stuck his hand. Like, he absolutely should not have stuck his hand in there, but he did. And the hand goes in and the doors keep closing. And so from our perspective in the elevator, all we see is the hand from like the wrist on. It's like a disembodied hand.
Right.
And it's stuck through this elevator and the doors are not stopping. And
no kidding.
Yeah, and I thank God at the last second, I mean, I was freaking out. I swear to God, I thought I was going to witness this guy's hand getting torn off in the elevator shaft. And I'm like just reflexively trying to pull the doors open, and one of the cardiologists is like pulling me back from the door because now I've got my hand in the door trying to pull it open.
Well, no open door button.
There was, but it was literally the elevator was starting to, I mean, the door was just about to close. It had like an inch and a half of space left.
Yeah, but see, there's that thing usually anybody who takes an elevator, there's the elevator door, there's the floor door, and then there's that flexible In between, and that's the thing that opens the door up.
Right.
If somebody's in the middle of it. Yeah.
Right, and that didn't trigger.
Kidding.
And I don't know if it's because it was just a hand, like maybe it senses a whole body trying to get in. But it, I don't know if I should say. Should I say?
Say it.
It was Advocate Illinois Masonic.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so the door's closing, and you know when you're trying to find the door open button, you can't find it right away.
No, it's like, you panic almost.
Exactly.
You know,
and the door open and the door close buttons are like, they're way too similar.
Wow.
And, yeah. So needless to say, this person pulled their hand out as the elevator started moving, pulled his hand out, and all was well, except when we got up to our floor, the outer door didn't open. The inner door opened, but the outer door didn't open.
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. So my colleague and I stayed on the elevator. We went up one more floor for the cardiologists to get up, and the doors, both of them opened. So they got off. My colleague and I decided to try, stay on the elevator, see what happened. We got to our floor, and all was well. But I have that image of just this disembodied hand coming through the elevator door, and the door's closing.
I got a story for you, too.
Okay. Although, I have to say, my colleague was really cute. She was like, if I'm about to have a heart attack, this is the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in an elevator full of cardiologists.
I was working at the Merchandise Mart, and I was getting off of work one night, and I took the elevator, and I push the button, and for part of the way down, it's a express elevator.
Okay.
Which means there's no doors on
floors.
So we're going down, going down, going down. It slows down and stops. And I figure, okay. So the door wasn't opening. The door wasn't opening. And I hit the open door button, and there was a yellow wall in front of me.
Oh, jeez.
I thought to myself, okay, now this is interesting. And I, you know, rang for the guard downstairs, and he was able to bring the car down. Then in another building downtown, I was getting off of work at 6 o'clock in the morning, got on the elevator. This was with good old Abner.
Uh-huh.
Got on the elevator, started down, and then the elevator fell three floors.
Oh, my God.
Fell three floors, and then the doors only opened partly. Well, I got off with the dog.
Yes.
You know, and then I let the elevator go wherever it went. And I had to wait because every time I pushed the down button, it would come back.
That elevator.
That same elevator. So I had to wait till it got far enough away. And then I pushed the button and it got down, and I told the guy about it.
Oh, my
And
God.
He says, I'll have to call the company. I said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
better.
That's a good idea.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, if that elevator kept falling, that would have been tragic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. So. Awful. Elevators, scary places, peeps.
Yeah, but
moral,
you know what? I take them all the time.
No, I mean, we all do, right?
What are you going to do?
Exactly. I mean, the chance of getting stuck on an elevator or it malfunctioning or somebody getting their hand chopped off in, you know.
Well, actually, that was, remember the old Addams Family show?
Uh-huh.
That hand was your thing. You know,
that's what it was like. It was just like just that disembodied hand.
Right, just that hand.
Ugh.
Speaking of just a hand.
Thing nightmares are made of.
Yes, right. Brett Shishkoff went to see Shakespeare's, I think it was Midsummer Night's Dream or something.
Oh,
anyway,
cool.
He went there to see, because they've started doing what Evan started at the other theaters, and they're doing the touch tour as well as the audio description.
Fantastic.
So he's going to give us a full report on that.
Did they consult with the Lighthouse, do you know? I mean, I'm just curious, like, who they consult with.
No, they didn't do us.
Huh.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, just curious.
So, you know.
Awesome.
Evan took it on his own, and I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
Kudos to Evan.
I know. He really pioneered a lot of the accessibility.
Yes, he did. Yep, he's good. So here we go with Shakespeare. Little class this morning.
Hello, everybody. This is Brett Shishkoff. I am doing another review on another theater, and it's about The Merchant of Venice at the Shakespeare Theater. If none of you have ever been at the Shakespeare Theater, it is actually located in Navy Pier, which most of you might think who are, you know, have gone to the Navy Pier, how, as a blind person, would I navigate to the Shakespeare Theater if I decided to go on my own? Well, that was one of the questions I had, and that's what I asked. And so Jason Harrington, who kind of oversees all of the audio description, touch tour, accessibility options for the Shakespeare Theater, explained to me that when you come, if you're by yourself, you want to come in through the entrance one of the Navy Pier, So if you're taking paratransit or an Uber or a taxi, that would be the entrance you want to go to. He actually does give you his information if you are coming by yourself for you to call him, and he will send a volunteer, or he will come down and find you and bring you up to the theater, make sure that you are taken care of. If you are taking a bus there, you can also call him and let him know what bus stop you're at, and they will come and find you as well. If you're at the front of Navy Pier, they will come find you in the front of Navy Pier as well. So they will come and find you. That was my biggest concern. That was something that I really wanted to make sure that I got that information for all of you. And so this one didn't have a touch tour like a couple of the other ones that I have seen. But it was a limited set. The Shakespeare Theater, at least for Merchant of Venice, didn't have too much on the stage for you to really go around and want to feel. I guess you probably could have done something with the costumes because, you know, this is a Elizabethan style, fluffier dresses, that type of thing. And so the men were wearing capes. So that might have been kind of nice to be able to feel that. The play itself starts with a masquerade, so you could have been able to do something with the masks that they were wearing. Those specific things would have been kind of nice to put my hands on to kind of picture a little bit better. But you get there, you get your tickets. I was actually at this play. I was with my mom. I was able to take her. She'd never been there before, and so I had someone to kind of navigate me around, and it went smoothly. Nothing to be too concerned about. There are a few steps to get down to where we were sitting, and all of us who were using the audio description all sit in the same area, which was, for me, I was right in the front row. That would have been stage left, house right. And so right when the play starts, you have the masquerade party, and they're dancing and doing chanting and clapping, and they're trying to get the audience involved. So we start clapping with them, but you can hear them so close to you. You can feel them whooshing past you. You feel like you're right in this masquerade dance party that is going on. So that was really, really fun and great to be able to be so close and feel like you're right on top of the action. The audio description, Jason did a very, very great job of the audio description. He was willing to take in some notes. Like during the intermission, I kind of just made the suggestion of, is there any way that you can introduce that character, the first time that a character speaks in a scene, is there a way that you might be able to just add, you know, this is Lancelot's character, or this is Portia's character, whenever they're speaking, because some of them did have similar voices, so it helped me to be able to determine, okay, here's what characters are on stage at this time and who's speaking. Other than that, it was very, very well done from the audio description side of things. The headsets worked fine. They had earbuds, which, depending on who you are, your ears might start to ache a little bit as you got to the end. I know when I was at the Goodman Theater, they had a pair of headphones that actually, a little earphone that went over your ear, which was a little bit more comfortable. So I did like that part of the Goodman compared to the Shakespeare Theater. But other than that, this is just little small nitpicky things that for me was a little uncomfortable. But everything else that Jason did audio description wise was awesome. The play, if you haven't ever seen Merchant of Venice, or you don't know too much about Shakespeare, or you're unsure about if you would even like going to Shakespeare, I haven't been to Shakespeare Theater since I was in high school. So it's been a very long time since I've been there, and it can be hard to wrap your head around if you're not used to reading Shakespeare. But I would say it took me about a scene or two into the play for me to fully wrap my head around what was going on. But it didn't take too long. I got a lot out of the play. My favorite part, especially in the first act, had to be the introduction of Lancelot, the character. He came out And he instantly breaks the fourth wall. He talks directly to the crowd. He comes out in the crowd, interacts with specific people, and then brings a couple of the people in the audience onto the stage. He's having a dilemma, and he wants us to help him work through it. And so that, to me, was quite fun, and that's why I think so many people like Shakespeare, is because he was doing things a little bit different than what most people were doing. And so if you're not a person who feels comfortable with actors and actresses coming out in the crowd, Shakespeare Theater may not be for you, but I would encourage you to at least test it out, because it is quite fun to be in a show where you are literally, no matter where you're sitting, on the bottom portion of the seating area. You are very close to an actor coming next to you. They might interact with you. They might even talk to you like you are one of the characters in the play. So it really gets you into being a part of this environment that they're trying to portray for you. So I really look forward to quite a few of the ones that are coming down the line. I know next year they're supposed to be having Romeo and Juliet. And then for the winter, they have a special showing as well. And so they're always giving nice little treats. And the pricing isn't actually too bad there. They have a lot of scholarships and grants and funding that comes into them. And so it keeps the ticket prices down, because they do get a lot of schools coming on, field trips. So don't think going to a Shakespeare play that it's going to be overly expensive. This one, it was a little bit more expensive because you did have the Traveling Globe Theater coming around, and it was a special showing of this play. So it ran a little bit more expensive, but you call in and you tell them that you're interested in audio description, and a lot of times they do try and work with you a little bit on the price. So this is Brett Shishkoff, and I went to the Shakespeare Theater and Merchant of Venice, and I highly recommend at least giving a chance to Shakespeare if you've done it in the past and it wasn't for you. I know for me, when I was younger, it dragged on a little bit, but now as I've gotten older, I actually enjoy at least this play, and so I'm interested to go to a few others and see if it translates the same. This is Brett Shishkoff, and this was a review. Talk to you soon.
Every day, PACE is helping more and more people with disabilities take control of their day.
My friends change plans a lot, which was tough because my rides had to be booked a day before. One day, I figured out how easy it was to put my wheelchair onto regular PACE buses. Since then, I haven't missed out on any pickup games. Yesterday, I had 10 rebounds.
Freedom means being able to go wherever I want, when I want. Before, things like missing an ingredient for a recipe or other unexpected errands were a real pain to figure out. Once I learned my service dog Nola was welcome aboard Pace Fix routes, we've been riding ever since.
Hi, I'm Bridget Brown. If you're anything like me, it drives you nuts when you feel like you're missing out on things. Now I make plans in the middle of the day without even thinking twice about it, thanks to the Pace Bus.
When you're ready to take control of your day, visit PaceBus.com or call 847-364-PACE. Pace, connecting communities.
So, with your English muffin.
Oh.
Just a bit of hollandaise sauce. Is that what you put on an English muffin?
You can.
Yeah, they make
with
it
a poached egg.
Poached egg.
Yeah, make it a
eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You can have some of that with a mimosa to go along.
You know
with
who makes fabulous eggs Benedicts?
Ooh.
Our Orange, the restaurant. Orange, are you familiar with it?
No.
Oh, they make.
I don't get out much. Once I go home.
When I used to eat non-vegan stuff, I would get their.
Yeah.
Oh, and they have like fresh buffalo mozzarella cheese.
Oh,
it was divine. So Orange, if you want great eggs, there's one in Roscoe Village. That's really the only. I know that there's a couple other around. Right. I'm not the one in Roscoe Village on Roscoe
Street.
Yeah, that was the only one I've visited. There used to be another
orange.
One. Yeah, just orange, and they're. I mean, all their breakfasts are delicious.
Well, which is a good way to lead into our segment.
There we
here.
Go.
Our lettuce. Turn up the beat segment.
Thank you, friend.
With the beautifully talented and so able to cook Lainey Kleeman.
My goodness, thank you so much. I don't deserve that introduction.
What are we doing?
Well, right now I'm actually going to keep it real simple today. We're going to do a do-it-yourself pumpkin pie spice. So you can, when you get into the holidays, you can buy the pumpkin pie spices.
Right.
Pumpkin pie spice.
Oh,
in
yeah,
a bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
It tends to be pricey. You know, it really does. When you can actually whip it up with a lot of things that you just have already in your spice cabinet. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. And I do this with taco seasoning as well, because like prepackaged taco seasoning tends to be very high in sodium and all kinds stuff you don't want.
Yeah.
So I make my own taco seasoning. I'll save that for another show. But since we're getting into the holidays, I figured a DIY do-it-yourself pumpkin pie spice would be a good way to kind of lead into the season.
Sure. Okay.
So you're going to need 4 teaspoons of cinnamon.
Okay.
2 teaspoons of ground ginger.
Ooh.
Yes. 1 teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg. If you don't want to freshly grate it and you have nutmeg spice in your cabinet already, that will work too.
You've hit on all cylinders so far.
Absolutely. And then we're going to do 1 teaspoon of ground allspice and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cloves. And you're just going to combine them and put them in a container, and it will be ready for all of your holiday baking needs.
And it doesn't take long at all.
Oh, a minute, if that.
It's a, wow.
Yeah, a minute, if that.
And that then is so cool.
Right. And you're using things you already have in your cabinet,
yeah.
if you have a collection of spices, as I do.
Right.
And I think many people, we just collect spices along the way, and they kind of sit in the cabinet. So this is putting them to good use.
Wow, that's excellent.
There you go. Short and sweet today.
And they can get the recipe?
You can get it on Facebook under Chicago Lighthouse Beacon or Twitter under Lighthouse Beacon as well. I'm still working on maybe setting up an Instagram.
Okay.
And if I do, I will certainly let you know.
All right. Sounds good. That is our Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment with the lovely Lainey Kleeman.
Thank you, darling.
Stick around. We've got... a couple of words here for you. Then we go from the beautiful to the beasts right after this.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
They're here, those two guys. They're back again, Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, it'll be a big surprise for all of us.
I think so. He's going to talk about road shows. I know he will.
Yeah.
With Christmas time and in the... Can you believe Christmas time is coming?
No, I can't.
No, it's just unbelievable.
I can't believe the year is like we're rounding the corner to the finish line of 2016.
And what a way to bring us down the street and to Tom's Corner to find out what's new.
Everyone, last week we talked to you about portable CCTVs, and this week we'll follow up with the desktop CCTVs. And Tom Persky, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. Looking forward to that Bears game tomorrow night?
Of course I am.
Okay.
I see a victory.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm going to predict a victory, yeah.
We'll see. The Dallas Cowboys look pretty good.
All right. Now, what about these desktop CCTVs? Yeah, there are new features you want to tell us about?
That's right. These are devices, of course, that help people with low vision, magnify, print, and so forth. In fact, I had a conversation this week with someone on the phone who just could not understand what a CCTV is, and he kept asking me, I thought that stands for closed circuit television, and what does that have to do with low vision? So I said, well, it's just all started in the 70s, and the camera that would first help a person with low vision would be connected directly to a television set or a big monitor. in the old days, and they called it a closed circuit. That is, you couldn't watch TV on it. You could just use it for reading. So that name has stuck all these years and really probably should be called a video magnifier or something like that. You know, video magnifier, reading machine, some people call it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about today is the ability to take your printed material or really anything that would go underneath the camera. So it could be a bottle of pills. It could be your radio if you want to look at where the batteries go in. people think of it as a reading machine, but really it can be used for a lot of independent living type things.
Okay.
People sort their pills under there. They look at family pictures especially, or just lots and lots of things. And of course, I started using a CCTV way back when I lost my vision during my 20s. And some of the things I've done under there was I've pulled a sliver out of my finger with under CCTV. I had some colleagues and friends scoop up some ants on the sidewalk, and we put those under the CCTV to see how we make them 30 times the normal size.
They're easier to catch that way.
It looked like a monster movie, yeah. But these are devices, for me, it changed my life. I mean, it helped me to be able to read again, to write, to be able to work. And so I use one every day. I have one at home and one at work. And many, many people with severe macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy that need more than 6 or 8 times magnification. Mm-hmm. You can normally go now up to 40 or 50 times the normal size.
Wow.
And so the new machines have all gone to high definition over the last 2 years. And that really helps even those with not profound, but more like moderate vision impairment, where they can dial down the magnification and get almost a whole page on the screen at one time, which was never possible before. So what we offer is we pick a selection of what we think is some of the best units on the marketplace. So mm-hmm. we start with Magnesite Corporation. Has been around 20 years, and they're from Colorado. And they make a really high-quality, good machine. And it's one of the lowest-priced machines on the market. And most of them are either 22 inches that I'm going to mention, or 24 is the standard, as I mentioned, high definition. Those sell for $22.95, the Magnesite. Our other favorite is the Veo, which is a product by Reinecker. Mm-hmm. And Veo is kind of space age looking, looks very, very modern, where Magnesite might not look as modern, but it is very functional. But we really like the Veo, and there's some neat options with you can choose how many buttons you'd like. You can choose the size of the screens. And those start just a little bit more, $23.95, and go slightly up from there. And I think these are great, just a lot for your money, and be able to invest in something that is going to last a long, long time. There's nothing on these that burn out or anything like that, so right. We know they're going to go for forever, and that's really great. Optilec is another company that makes high-quality CCTVs. They have one called the Clearview C.
Right, we've talked about that.
Yeah, we've talked about that one. And those are the more expensive models on the marketplace. They start at $33.95. And then they've added what they call OCR speech for $39.95. And what that involves is placing your paper, having the machine actually take a picture of the entire screen. And then when your eyes get tired, you touch the screen and it reads it out loud. Uh-huh. So it has touch screen, it has OCR,
right,
and so forth. So that's really cool. Enhanced Vision is another company from Huntington Beach, California, that is very popular now here and around the world. And they have the DaVinci, they call it. And the DaVinci Pro is their new one. And that has a nice 24-inch screen. It has a swing arm, which the camera is high above the table or your desk. So if you're working on crafts or things like that, you can swing that camera around, do self-viewing if you'd like to do that. So there's some really neat features. And then the Pro also has the capability of using OCR So that's really become popular. So the regular Da Vinci is $29.95, and then the Pro is $37.95.
Okay.
So it does, you know, it does get up there a little bit higher.
Yeah, but they're high definition, and they offer a lot of value for their...
They really do. They really do. And if you're not in the market for a new one, we do have some really nice, we call them demonstrators, that have been in the building maybe a year. We sell those at quite a reduced price. Look on our website, lighthousetoolsforliving.com,
okay,
and click on used CCTVs, and you'll see some really good pricing. So that's pretty cool.
Now, you mentioned the new eyes, or did you?
Yeah, the new eyes is, as we mentioned briefly on a few shows ago, new is NUEYES.com if you'd like to learn more about it. And I just saw a demonstration of the new eyes with the upgradability of OCR. So now, for the first time, you're going to be able to put on a pair of glasses that have a video capability of going up to 10x magnification. As we mentioned on the show before, you just talk to your glasses. You say, glasses get bigger, glasses go bigger, and or glasses change color. And you can read print in white on black or black on white. And now you can touch a button, and it takes a picture of the page and reads it out loud. It also projects it directly onto a smart TV. And this system is really neat. It is that it is wireless, totally wireless. So you don't have those cords like you've had in other products in the past.
Mm.
So I guess we're getting there in terms of space age design. And this one has a full Android system. So we will be offering that as a opportunity to come in and try that for those who are, I would say the best customers might be 2150 to 2200 in their vision. More severe than 2200 might not be the right product for them, but we just let people come as we did with the OrCam, which mm-hmm. can work for anyone because there's no visual display, but that takes a picture of your book and reads it out loud. And so we've been doing lots of OrCam demonstrations also.
And one place that you can get a hands-on demonstration for these products are the roadshows. And you've got a whole slate coming up in October.
We do. It's tiring just looking at the looking at this list. But we will be out in the community 4 different times in October.
All right.
And so that's, I think, a record for us. But it's been really great. We just had a great show last week in Glenview, one of our best shows that we've ever had in Glenview. And people really appreciate us coming out to their area and showing lots and lots of products. So October 5th, a Wednesday, we will be at the Schaumburg Township office, which is 1 Illinois Boulevard in Hoffman Estates. And we're there. It's an open house from 10 to 3.
Okay.
Feel free to come. If you know someone who's vision impaired or just like to meet us and ask questions. Thursday, October 13th, we're going to be at the Palos Hills Community Center. And again, from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And that's a great location. And we see lots of our friends in the south suburbs there. Wednesday, October 19th, we're going to be back in my hometown, Maine Township. And the Maine Township office is on Ballard Road. The address is Park Ridge, Illinois. I went to Maine West High School. We used to call it Maine Waste. And I look forward to always going back to Maine Township. Again, from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And then October 23rd, we're going to be at the Mount Prospect Public Library.
Oh, it's out in Bill's neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's right. He's in Mount Prospect. Mm-hmm. My old buddy Sammy Scoville used to have a hot dog stand, and a very famous gentleman who's blind. If you haven't read his book called Semka, you need to do that. But yeah, Mount Prospect, or we used to call it Mount Plastic, we'll be there that day. So we're looking forward to meeting all of you. You want to see all these dates on our website, go to chicagolighthouse.org and scroll down on the homepage to the events, and all of our events are listed. We have programs for seniors. We have classes for the iPad and the iPhone, especially in Glenview, now that we have Ann Kelly there, one of our staff. So check out all of our events.
All right.
All right.
And don't forget the desktop CCTVs, new features, and they're available. And, of course, you want to come in and try them out or go to a roadshow and take a look at them. And he's Tom Persky, as always. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
Recipe really, really sounds good.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's quick to make.
Right. I mean,
it's everything in the house.
It takes more time to actually collect the bottles of the spices to combine than it does to put it together. And you know what? And it's just, if you're like me, fall just emanates like pumpkin spice. I mean, not just necessarily pumpkin, but just that fall flavor. It's a fall flavor. And I like to put on everything in the fall.
I went to school up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we started in September, you know, obviously, like everybody. But the smell of fall.
Right.
It's just wonderful.
And it's a very distinct, comforting smell.
Exactly.
I don't know. You can't explain what it is.
Hot cider with a cinnamon stick
in it. That's it.
That's about it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, thanks to Dr. Janice Slick, our executive director at the Chicago Lighthouse, for letting us be here with you every week. We also want to thank Sandra Murillo, our associate producer, Brad Shishkoff, for a great job on the Shakespeare Theater.
He's getting to go sailing and go to see theater. Look at him.
He's getting around.
He
is a world-class guy.
I'm envious.
That's it. And then, of course, there's Tom Persky and Brian Hawkins.
Right.
And Brian is with us every week and does such a fabulous job. Well, that's about it for our Beacon program. Right here on Facts Really Matter on AM 820 WCPT, because they do.
They do matter.
And we will see you back here next week. Mighty House guys are pulling in all their saws and everything else that goes along with it for another entertaining couple of hours right here on 820 AM. I'm Bill Turek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
See you next week.